Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Friday afternoon to each and every one of you out there in Stand in the Gap Today territory. On behalf of Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr is unable to be with us today, and he's got some business to tend to, so we would ask you to be praying for him. But I must say that Sam and I, Dave, were out in Iowa the last 2 days talking with a group out there called Family Life, and they are very, 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 very much involved in the 2016 presidential election, and as a matter of fact have been involved for quite some time over the years in vetting the presidential candidates. They know almost every one of them personally, at least those who have been around for quite some time. And Dave, we spent 2 days of discussion with the folks out there, and it appears as though the American Pastors Network may have a very, very critical role to play in the vetting of the candidates for 2016. And we don't have all of the strategy worked out yet, but we are beginning to work it out. We're looking at it. And, Dave, we'd be asking the candidates questions like they have never heard before when it comes to vetting them. And, I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's not going to be the general questions that they normally get. We are going to be dealing with character, duty, and responsibility. And I can imagine questions like this, Dave. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And, you know, I remember back in 2007 when I was with Norm Geisler, and we asked that question to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and John Edwards. And both Obama and Edwards said yes. Hillary's answer was, well, I'm a Methodist. And, of course, we know the rest of the story in all three of those folk. But the questions that we are going to be asking could be something like this. Okay, you say you know Christ as your Savior. What did you learn from the Bible today? How is your regular Bible study? Do you have a good relationship with your pastor? Do you attend church on a regular basis? When was the last time you led someone to Christ? Now, that would not be all of those questions, but, Dave, that would sort of give an indication as to where they are spiritually. You know that?
You know, Gary, it would. And, you know, I'm excited. Of course, while you guys were away, we were certainly praying for you, encouraging our listening audience to do the same thing. But, Gary, this is an amazing thing because these things, you know, some people may think, well, that's unimportant. That's not even related to what a candidate would be doing while in office. But, Gary, it is directly related. A man's walk with his God, with his Creator, Gary, will speak volumes into how he will govern as a leader if he were to be elected. So, you know, all of these things, Gary, are absolutely critical and pivotal items to be discussed. And so this is exciting to hear about.
Well, that won't be the only thing. I mean, there are other things.
Of course not. Of course not.
Yeah, in fact, but, you know, like I say, character, duty, responsibility. We might even ask some questions like, and I don't want to be too clear here because you never know who might be listening, but we could even ask questions like, what does the Bible say are the qualifications for a king, you know, for leadership, and see if they could turn to a place in the Word of God. And some may be able to, some may not be able to. For those who are potentially good candidates, it could be an educational time for them. You know that? And for others, it could be a good educational time for us.
Well, you bet. You bet. You know, Gary, again, it goes back to, you know, the things that we have elevated in a presidential candidate, things that are basically fluff and of no consequence. You know, we have a president right now, Gary, who can read a teleprompter very, very well. Mm-hmm. He knows how to, you know, use certain voice inflections and all of those kind of things. And so he wowed people with his quote unquote ability to communicate. And that, in addition to several other things, is what got him into the White House twice. But Gary, I care little about a man's ability to communicate. In fact, it's not that that's unimportant, but it is nowhere near as important as the character issues, the walk a man has with the God of heaven, if indeed he has one, how he's going to govern, his understanding of what the role of a leader is from a biblical perspective. All of those things are far more significant than these fluffy, really, in one sense, immaterial components that we have elevated to such places of prominence when picking our presidential leaders.
Amen. And we're going to be working on this. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, today is Phone In Friday. We'd love to hear from you. I'm going to give the toll-free number. It's 1-877-667-1180. Or if you are in the Philadelphia area where our anchor station is WFYL, the number is 610-539-8255. 610-539-8255. Here's a question I want to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, and that is, if you had the opportunity to interview the presidential candidates, what would you ask them? What would you ask them? And I would like to hear from you. Dave would like to hear from you. This is your opportunity to give us some input. If you had the opportunity to ask a presidential candidate, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Marco Rubio or Rick Santorum, any of them, if you'd have the opportunity to ask a presidential candidate a question, what would that question be? Or what form of questioning do you think that we should consider if indeed we get these opportunities to talk to them? The number is 1-877-667-1180. That's the toll-free number. Or 610-539-8255. If you had the opportunity to ask a presidential candidate questions, what would those questions be? Which direction would you go with those questions? We would like to hear what you have to say. The number is 1-877-667-1180 or 610-539-8255. We'd love to hear from you, and we will take your call throughout the course of this program today. Again, what kind of a question would you ask a presidential candidate if you had the opportunity to do so? What are your interests? What would you like to hear from them? We would love to hear from you. 1-877-667-1180 or 610-539-8255. That's 610-539-TALK. When we come back in this next segment after a bit, we are going to be having with us a friend of Dave and mine. His name is Jim O'Brien. Jim O'Brien is a man who has a lot of savvy in government. He's been involved with various aspects of governmental security and things over the last couple of years. And we're going to talk to him about the Patriot Act. And I'm sure that he'll have some information to share with us that will be very, very vital to your thoughts, because the Patriot Act could be killed here pretty soon. But anyway, you give us a call if you have a question or want to talk about the question that you would ask a presidential candidate. Again, the number is 1-877-667-1180 or 610-539-8255. We will be back with more of Stand in the Gap today right after this. Stay tuned.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote by Sidney Sheldon. My heroes are those who risk their lives every day to protect our world and to make it a better place. Police, firefighters, and members of our armed forces. God bless America.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. Tongue-tied when it comes to witnessing? Then let God's Word do the talking for you.
My ministry helps churches actively engage their members in evangelism, and the gospels will be great outreach materials. I'm also leading a small group evangelism training for my church and want to introduce them to the Pocket Testament League.
Hello, I'm Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. We'd love for you to experience the joy that comes from giving someone the inspired Word of God. We'll make it easy for you. Won't you join us?
I'm a full-time student and have lots of opportunities to share the gospel. The Pocket Testament has made it easier for me. I am also enrolled into your boot camp lessons to help strengthen and teach me to share Jesus with the world.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Along with Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr is unable to be with us today. And we have a question out there, really, and that is, if you had the opportunity to ask a presidential candidate anything, what would that question be? And you may call us at 1-877-667-1180. Or 610-539-8255. That's 610-539-TALK. And we are going to go ahead and take some of those calls in a minute. But first of all, we want to invite Jim O'Brien to be with us. Jim is a friend of mine and Dave's and Sam's. We've known him for a long, long time, and we've had him on our former broadcast on numerous occasions. I don't think we've had him on Stand in the Gap Today, as far as I can remember, but then I can't remember too well. But Jim is savvy in a lot of things that relates to the government. He, of course, has been involved with security measures within our nation down through the years. Jim O'Brien, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today, my friend.
Hey, Gary. Good to be with you and Dave, and looking forward to the rest of your program. And thanks so much for starting this program across the country.
Well, we're thankful for what the Lord is doing for us here at the American Pastors Network, and we want to talk to you specifically about the Patriot Act in a little bit. But before we do, we want to go to a phone call. Mac from Broomall there in the Philadelphia area has a question for us. He's a former Navy Special Operations individual, which really is something that I appreciate. And Mac, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today, and thank you for your service to our country.
Yeah, it's been good hearing your program. It's been a long time overdue. I talked to my wife about this. We're both patriotic. I was in Puerto Rico during the height of the Macho Terrace and in the Persian Gulf. And though I wasn't a SEAL, I worked with them with a mobile communication contingency while in Spain. Mm-hmm. That being said. With what happened with the Fort Hood shooting, which when I heard that, I couldn't speak to anybody for days. And then SEAL Team 6 being sold out, 30 operatives being placed on a slow-flying chopper, and then when 7 or 8 of them bailed, the Taliban was waiting to shoot them up. Then you had what happened to Benghazi. And any candidate that I would know, I want to know what their take is on the military and how important they view it. As far as what this administration is doing, going out of the way to destroy it, and just and then no one told him accountable for what happened. And I, it's only by God's grace that I came back, and I think like an operative, what kept me alive. And I know if I were, I'm gushing, I'm giving a mouthful, but I got a vent. If I were being put together in Bethesda or in Walter Reed, or if I came back in a body bag, I would want somebody crying out for me. If I were in Bethesda or Walter Reed, my wife would probably have a bodyguard around me, not letting anybody from this administration near me. And again, I would want to. So I take this time to speak up for my fallen and those that didn't come back. And you could just, I'll be quiet and listen. But just, it's kind of a news flash to America. Just to when people say thank you for your service, do they mean it? And I'd just like to know what your take is on these questions about our military.
Gary,
well, first of all, I want to thank you very, very much for that question, because I think it's a very, very significant question. And I think that every one of us would agree with the fact that this present administration certainly has not, and at least I'll express my opinion, Mac, and that is that this present administration has not really been friendly to our armed forces. Whether you're talking about supporting the armed forces or even trying to build the armed forces, I think that our military now is at an all-time low numerically. It's probably at an all-time low as far as the morale is concerned, and it's all because of the leadership of the one that we right now refer to as our commander-in-chief. Dave, you want to say something?
Gary, I do. I want to jump in and just thank Mac for his service. And Mac, when I say that, I mean it genuinely. I think you know that. But Gary, what Mac has shared has been shared with me many, many times by those within the United States military, special ops guys that I've met down through the last number of years, who feel exactly the way Mac does about the current administration. So this is not, what Mac is sharing is not an isolated incident. This is pervasive throughout our military. They know that this president, tragically, unfortunately, does not have the back of our military. How different, how incredibly different it was during the George W. Bush years to know how much he supported the troops. And Mac, there's an incredible story in Dana Perino's new book, And the Good News Is, and you, if you've not read it, you need to pick it up and read it, where she describes at Walter Reed Hospital, George W. Bush literally taking between his hands the head of a wounded American soldier who 6 days later actually died, and weeping tears, the president did, tears that fell onto the face of that young man as the president stood there over top of him, embracing him. That is the kind of leadership that we need in America. That is the kind of leadership that our military needs to have. And they need that kind of a president. They need to know that the president loves them and that he views his job as commander in chief as job number one. So, Gary, I am in complete agreement with Mac. I think any person that's running for the presidency needs to answer this question. What is your view of the United States military? How do you perceive them to be? Where are they, so to speak, on your priority list as far as degree of importance? I think this is a great question.
Thank you, Mac. We certainly do appreciate your call. And folks, the question is, if you had the opportunity to interview a presidential candidate, what question or questions would you ask? The number is 1-877-667-1180 or 610-539-8255. Jim O'Brien, the specific reason why we have you on the program today is to talk a little bit about the Patriot Act. It looks like it's in trouble right now. And I know you've been involved with the national security down through the years. What is your thought about the Patriot Act? Is it valuable? Is it too intrusive? How do you view the Patriot Act as we know it today?
Gary, good question. Can I just go back for just a second and just comment on what you folks are just saying? There's another issue besides just the commander-in-chief. I do think that he's about maybe 80% of the issue. But also, our Congress for many years was about 70% veteran and 30% attorneys, okay? But now it's flipped upside down. We have about 70% of our Congress are not veterans, and almost all of them are former attorneys or currently attorneys, and a much smaller percentage are actual veterans. So they don't have an understanding firsthand of what our forces are going through. So I think that we also need to recognize that our forces have been cut way back, and the people that are being drawn into the Congress today are not as many people that have military experience. So that's another uphill battle to have these folks understand what these people go through on the battlefield.
Let me just say something relative to that. I mean, you know, this is becoming an issue, and we've been seeing that grow over the past several years, really. But, you know, you've got Rand Paul, who was out there running for the presidency. I would think that if he got in there, why, he would continue the same direction in reducing the size and the effect of the military. What do you think on that, Jim?
I am concerned about his sort of an island mentality, where as long as we take care of our own country, we don't have to worry about the rest of the world. Now, that was great when people came in ships that traveled at 20 knots, or even when airplanes took 12 hours to get here. But now we have intercontinental ballistic missiles that travel at Mach 5 to Mach 8, and we have electronic intrusion. We have cyber warfare that travels around the world 7 times a second. So we cannot just pull our horns in and bunker down and hope that the rest of the world gets along okay. We cannot do that. It's extremely dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, I'm not a supporter of Rand Paul, and I agree with you 100%. We need to strengthen our military, not weaken it. Well, what about the Patriot Act, Jim?
Well, the way the Patriot Act is being sold, this is my own personal feeling and not officially, you know, anybody else's position, but it sounds like it's sort of a similar question to a man who asks another guy, do you still kick your dog? And so the answer is, if you say yes, what it means is that, the guy doesn't have a dog. So if he answers yes or no, it's wrong. You see my point? And what's being told right now, people are asking, should we keep the Patriot Act or not? And my answer is in between. If we throw it out, I think that the enemy is going to seize on all these different opportunity to communicate openly with each other and plan much more effectively than they have before. But if we leave what's in place, I think we also have some liberties that are being infringed.
Well, we're going to talk more about the Patriot Act with Jim O'Brien after the break. I think that he brought up something very significant there for us to discuss. The question is the Patriot Act valuable? Is it too intrusive? Is it about ready to be killed? We'll talk with more of this with Jim O'Brien in just a moment. On behalf of Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. We will be back with more Stand in the Gap today, right after these messages.
Girls Day Out alert. Make plans to attend the Lancaster Women's Expo Saturday, May 30th from 9 to 2 p.m. at Millersville University. Health and wellness, shopping, demonstrations, fashion update, technology, and giveaways make for a must-attend event. There is no entry fee, so come on out and plan on having a great time. Go to agreatwaytospendmyday.com for more information.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Cuba is now out of a club its government always denied being in.
For more than 50 years, Cuba was on the State Department's list of state sponsors of terrorism. But after a review that was ordered by the president in December, Cuba has been officially removed from that list. Cuba's removal from the list paves the way for the establishment of a U.S. embassy in Havana and a Cuban embassy in Washington.
That's Fox News Radio's John Decker at the White House. The nation's economy is moving backward lately. Fox Business Network's Adam Shapiro.
Harsh weather and a strong dollar took a toll on economic growth in the first quarter. The Commerce Department reports the economy actually shrank 0.7%. Now compare that to the 0.2% growth that the government estimated. The dip marks the third quarterly contraction since the economy emerged from recession in mid-2009.
On Wall Street, the Dow's down 85.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. In many ways, Memorial Day has become like so many other Monday holidays, simply an excuse for an extended weekend to relax or have fun. But like other holidays, Memorial Day does have a much deeper meaning, as we remember those who gave their lives to give us the liberty and security that we now enjoy. This Memorial Day week, I believe we would do well to not only remember those sacrifices, but to dedicate ourselves to helping make our nation all that it should be. If we are to continue to ask our best young people to risk their lives for us and our nation, let us here at home do what we can to restore righteousness and virtue. Let's stand up for the sanctity of life, for traditional marriage, and for religious liberty. Let's work to bring moral principles back to the public square. That is a worthy tribute this and every Memorial Day.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today, along with Dave Kistler. I'm Gary Dahl. Of course, Sam Rohr is unable to be with us today, but we also have with us a special guest, Jim O'Brien, and we are talking about the Patriot Act. And, of course, you know the Patriot Act has been portrayed as that which preserves life and liberty in our nation. Those who are supporters of it say that the act improves our counterterrorism efforts in a number of ways. Number one, that it allows investigators to use the tools that were already available to investigate organized crime and drug trafficking. Number two, the Patriot Act facilitated information sharing and cooperation among government agencies so that they can better, quote, connect the dots. Number three, the Patriot Act updated the law to reflect new technologies and new threats. And number four, the Patriot Act increased the penalties for those who commit terrorist crimes. And so, you know, this Patriot Act is up for debate now. You know, is it going to last or will it be killed? And we've got Jim O'Brien with us to talk about it. Dave, you have a question for Jim.
I do, Gary. And Jim, I appreciate your comment earlier. I'm in agreement with you. There's it's kind of a catch-22 with the Patriot Act. The part of the Patriot Act, evidently, that is the most controversial is this NSA collection of phone records in bulk and how much information they are retaining and are they listening to calls. And I know there's people all over the map with their opinions on that. But, Jim, I'm curious, are you familiar with this recently passed USA Freedom Act? It's something that passed overwhelmingly in the House of Representatives. It has not yet mustered enough votes to pass in the Senate, but it basically would remove that component, the NSA collection of phone records. It would remove that from being the law, but keep other surveillance tools available to the government so that they can continue to track these terrorists. If you're familiar with the act, what's your opinion of it?
Rather than comment on it, Dave, I've heard of it, but I don't think I have enough intelligence on it to be able to speak to it authoritatively. But let me just comment on the metadata gathering. I think that Mr. Snowden, I do not agree with anything that he's done as far as revealing stuff that he could have done in other means. But anyway, he has cast light on the issue of that of NSA collecting records and things. And but okay, I just got another phone call here. I'm sorry, but anyway. The problem you have is that the Constitution very clearly states that you must have a warrant, you must have a name, unreasonable search and seizure, this kind of thing. And what's been happening is, of course, in the name of security, the NSA has basically been sort of collecting all this stuff and basically under the ownership and jurisdiction of the government. So I guess my own feeling is, at this point in time, we can't just abandon it and throw it out. I think what we need to do is to consider having a neutral party. I'm not sure who that neutral party would be, perhaps some kind of an FFRDC, like a federally funded research and development center that is really not, what's the right word, it's not a government agency, but it's not an industry agency either. The proposals are that maybe Verizon and AT&T and Sprint and whoever else is you know, running the telephones right now collect the data. That's a possibility. It's certainly, I think, better than NSA. I get very afraid when we have Big Brother. In fact, it's even bigger than what George Orwell was talking about over there, just sort of collecting stuff. You never know what's going to be done with it. It could be used for political gain as far as elections. It could be used for blackmail, all sorts of things that are not necessarily related to national security.
So I'm getting from that that you're saying that, you know, the Patriot Act really does at least border on violating our constitutional rights and our freedoms in the United States. And, of course, I know that many of us would agree with you on that. But, Jim, here's a question. If not the Patriot Act, then what to build our security and intelligence here in the United States?
Well, I do think that the Patriot Act can be modified. It can be amended, all right, to require identification of particular people that we feel are potential terrorists, potential threats, and that kind of thing. But right now, it's just a macro collection. It's the metadata of America, and we should not be subject to that. That's where I guess where I'm at.
But must that be done if we are going to secure our country?
Um, there are a number of different ways to do it. I mean, I can't really speak authoritatively much more than what I've said. I do feel that right now we need to back off some of what we're doing right now. Because it does violate, I think it violates the Constitution as it's now written and practiced. Okay? And I do think there's a middle ground there, and that's sort of what I'm struggling with coming out with right now. But I just don't feel that we should have every single piece of data collected. If it is collected, it needs to be held in a place that is not accessible to our government without some kind of a warrant from the from the courts. Okay, that's sort of where I'm at.
Dave.
Well, Gary, I'm in agreement with Jim. It's a catch-22. I mean, obviously, the kind of security dilemma that we're in the 21st century is something that our founders perhaps never envisioned in their wildest imagination. Yet at the same time, you cannot just overtly, purposefully violate the Constitution. You know, I agree with Jim. There's got to be middle ground here somewhere. We need a security apparatus that can track bad people, but just this massive, as Jim calls it, mega collection of all this information, which does appear to be in violation of the Constitution, that's just really, I don't think, an option. And I think this is what the Congress is really groping and grasping to try to find an answer to with this USA Freedom Act, which pulls out some of these more controversial components and tries to leave in enough teeth so that we're just not caught totally off guard. So it's a difficult thing, Gary. I'm telling you, it's a difficult thing, but I will say this. Our founders did understand human nature, and they understood that our government and all components, all aspects of it, are no better than the caliber of the character of the people we have in office and the folks we have in power right now. Gary, I don't trust any of the current administration whatsoever. What they're going to do with this stuff. Yes, sir.
No, I was just going to say that I agree with what you're saying, and let me take it one step further. As you were speaking like that, you know, the government right now has all of the IRS records, correct? You
say that's correct.
Oh, they need those to collect taxes. Well, look at the abuse of having all that information in our government already. You see, it's being used for political purposes to intimidate those who are on the right or the left or whatever it happens to be. It's being used beyond just the need to collect money for our government to run. So giving even more information to the government than we now give is, to me, even a more problematic situation.
Well, Jim, I agree.
A question I have here. Why is the government such a mess? I mean, you know, there's a national talk show host who basically says that the reason why the government is the way that it is that many of them were the C students in college, that the A and the B students are out in their own, you know, private businesses and so forth. I don't know if that can be pushed through or not. But it seems like almost every situation the government gets involved with, it's a mess. I mean, if you're talking about the economy, if you're talking about foreign policy, if you're talking about the security of our nation, the security of our borders, for crying out loud, why is the government so messed up in things like this? I mean, they can take a ball and make it into a square without any troubles whatsoever. I don't understand it.
Well, I think it goes all the way back to the fact that there's no such thing as truth anymore. Everything's relative. You know, it was Einstein who said, I believe in relativity when it comes to science, but not when it comes to morals. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're seeing here is a sort of a situational ethics kind of a practice in our government, because that's what's been taught in our schools in the last, you know, 50 years or so. So it's sort of looking out for number one and doing whatever's necessary to get what I want. And it's really very discouraging to watch. I mean, I've spent a lot of time on the Hill. I've testified over there. You know, you see these people, and you watch what goes on behind the scenes, which is a lot messier than what you see in hearing.
I believe it.
Gary, if I could say this quickly, D.L. Moody said it this way: the only person safe outside the sight of a policeman is the individual who carries his policeman with him, and that policeman is called character. And so we have characterless individuals serving in Congress, and the reason we have them is because we've eliminated the very document that teaches character, and that's the Word of God. So we're getting the result of eliminating God's truth from our culture.
Jim O'Brien, we want to thank you for being with us. We know that you have to go, so thank you very, very much for being with us on Stand in the Gap today, and we hope to have you with us again sometime in the future.
Dave and Gary, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. God bless you, my friend. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with our final segment right after these breaks. So on behalf of Dave Kistler, don't go away. We will be back with more information just for you right after this.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The 35th U.S. President was born this day, May 29th, 1917. He was awarded the Navy's Medal for Heroism for his service during World War II and the Pulitzer Prize for his book, Profiles in Courage. The youngest man ever elected president, he served only 3 years before being assassinated. His name, John F. Kennedy. In his inaugural address, President Kennedy stated, "The same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Hello, this is Nancy Becker, your recorder of deeds here in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from John F. Kennedy. "As we express our gratitude, we must never forget the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them."
In Psalm 62, King David says, "Truly my soul waits upon God, and from him comes my salvation." He says, "God only is my rock, my security, my defense, and because of this, I can remain steadfast and confident in times of trouble." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. As we look around this nation, we witness evil and persecution increasing against God's people, just what David saw. People were plotting mischief against each other, conspiring against God and trampling the truth. Rulers were lying and hypocritically flattering in public, but cursing in private. But David said, "Take heart. Men of such character are vanity and self-deceived, and God will reward them accordingly." In such times, David says, "Trust in God at all times. Pour out your heart before him, for he is our refuge." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you if you can say with David, "Power, authority, and blessing belong to God. My soul waits upon him. My expectation comes from him."
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr is unable to be with us today because of other matters he must take care of. So many things happening in the news these days. And Dave, in a moment, I want to go to you because it appears as though there's another Draw Muhammad contest going on in the nation, and who knows where that's going to go. But also, yesterday afternoon and overnight, there's more news breaking on the fact that the feds have indicted ex-House Speaker Hastert for allegedly hiding payments to an apparent blackmailer. And, you know, the sad part about that is that Denny Hastert claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's a graduate from Wheaton College. We really do not know the details of this, but, apparently it involves some $925,000 in cash to keep somebody quiet, and that's blackmail. And only time is going to tell how that is going to turn out. But what I want to say about that right away here is that when men and women go to government, whether it's local, state, or federal, the pressures are great, and we need to pray for them. Because many good people go in and, get in trouble. And so we just need to pray for them. And certainly as this continues to develop, we will do what we can to let you know about it. But what we need today is truth and righteousness in government. And, of course, for that truth and righteousness to prevail in government, it must, first of all, prevail in the house of God, ladies and gentlemen. Dave, what about this next Draw Muhammad contest that is coming up here soon?
Well, Gary, tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern time, there's going to be a Draw Muhammad contest in Phoenix, Arizona. It is evidently going to be set up just outside a mosque, and this mosque is evidently the one from which one of the two perpetrators of the attempted shootings down in Texas took place just a couple of weeks ago. So a gentleman by the name of John Ritzheimer, Mr. Ritzheimer is a former Marine. He also is a self-described atheist, is doing this in order to, according to his own statements, to draw attention to the evil nature of the religion of Islam. And so the FBI has been alerted. The authorities, the police down there have been alerted. So they are on high watch and high alert, to make sure nothing happens similar to what happened in Texas. What is good about this, Gary, is the leader of that mosque outside of which this Draw Muhammad contest is going to be held has supposedly called on his congregation or those that attend the mosque, the attendees there, to not respond in a violent way. He's worded it this way: anybody has the right to be an idiot. And he's, of course, referring to Mr. Ritzheimer. And again, Gary, it brings up an interesting collusion of freedoms that we have in America. We have obviously freedom of religion. We obviously have freedom of speech. We have a lot of these things. But is it a provocation that what Mr. Ritzheimer is doing? Is it something that is inciting a problem? Of course, all of that's up for debate. But the bottom line is this: again, the focus is all on him and what he's doing, tragically, and not on to the fact that Islam does, in its entirety, respond violently to any demeaning of the Prophet Muhammad. Gary, if, let's say, a group of Christians were to take up arms and violently respond whenever Jesus Christ was demeaned or cursed, we would be in the news nonstop. The leaders of Christianity, those that are well known, would no doubt there'd be pressure to incarcerate them, etc., etc. But for whatever reason, Islam gets a pass It is not focused on the violent nature of the religion, but rather these people like Mr. Ritzheimer become the focus. And again, I'm not saying I would do what Mr. Ritzheimer is doing. I'm just saying I think we need to draw more attention to the violent nature of Islam rather than just to what Mr. Ritzheimer and others like him, Pamela Geller and others, are trying to do.
Well, the interesting thing about this one, Dave, is that it is outside of a mosque. I mean, some of these Draw Muhammad contests in the past have either been behind closed doors or in private places. This is right out there in the public, and I can imagine that it's going to draw more ire from the Muslims than any of these other previous events have.
Well, Gary, the potential is certainly there for that to take place. However, we do have a right to peaceably assemble. That is a First Amendment right guaranteed to us as citizens of the United States. So if Mr. Ritzheimer's group peaceably draws cartoon characters outside a mosque, they have every First Amendment right to do so. And Gary, if I might remind our listening audience, it has occurred many, many times outside churches. I'm thinking of a situation in San Francisco about 10, 15 years ago where there was a church, the pastor of which had spoken out against homosexuality. The homosexual community came out in force and did not peaceably assemble. They started banging on the doors of the church. They started threatening the congregation inside. The people inside felt like their lives may be in jeopardy. And yet virtually nothing was said about the violent nature of that gathering on the part of the homosexual community. So as long as it's peaceful, they have every right to do this. And again, I'm not saying this is what I would do. I'm just saying from a First Amendment standpoint, they have the right to do this.
We have the First Amendment right, but sometimes I think that we need to use a little bit of common sense on some of these things. I mean, you know, it's just like Terry Jones. You and I know Terry Jones. We've met him. We've talked to him. I think we had him on our former program, if I'm not mistaken.
Gary, we did. We had him on at least twice. We interviewed him live in front of the White House, and then we had him call in later. And again, we said very unequivocally before we had him on, because he is, and he was then even more so, a controversial figure. We said, look, we're not condoning what Mr. Jones was advocating, the burning of the Quran. There's a better way to register your protest than doing that. I personally think there's a much better way to register your opposition to Islam than having a Draw Muhammad cartoon day. But the fact of the matter is this, Gary, what other religion reacts violently when their prophet or one of their leaders or their religion as a whole is in any way demeaned or cursed or whatever? What other religion acts this way? There is none that does that other than Islam. So again, we need to draw the attention where I think it needs to be drawn, and that is to the violent nature of this ideology.
Well, absolutely so. And folks, I would encourage you to pray for our friends who are in Phoenix. And of course, we realize what kind of an ire this can draw. And even though John Ritzheimer, however you want to pronounce it, does have the right to do this, whether it's wise or not is questionable. But, you know, it stands to reason that there may be those who will be harmed because of it. And so it's interesting, Dave, that this fella is an atheist. He's not a Christian doing this. He's an atheist. So that sort of puts another page in the book on the subject.
It does indeed, Gary.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we have enjoyed the pleasure of your company today, and thank you for being with us. And the Lord willing, we will be back on Monday with another edition of Stand in the Gap Today. Until then, on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, who is not with us, I'm Gary Dahl saying, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for we know the best is yet to come. We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ our Lord. Have a great weekend, folks.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.